What's going on, all? All right, let's jump right into the topic here. I don't know about you, but I am getting burnt out on travel, especially flying. So, one of the downsides, and it's actually better here in the United States than it is in other countries. So, let me tell you some of these downsides, and then we'll jump into it. First things first, let's get into, and please support these folks. The sponsor of this episode and today's sponsor is Blue Hills. And Blue Hills actually makes a really stellar travel pillow slash blanket two-in-one combo thingy. And maybe on some of my socials, you've seen me demonstrating this thing yesterday or a day before, because I was really looking to replace that horseshoe pillow, and that horseshoe pillow is just awful. Like, I don't know, it's just uncomfortable, right? Like, I mean, it's fun to squeeze and stuff like that, but when you put it on your neck in one way or another, no matter how you position it, it's, I mean, the only thing that those horseshoe pillows seem to be good for is to actually keep my head from, going left and right, or falling over on the person next to me, right? But so I wanted a more comfortable pillow, and the Blue Hills 2-in-1, it's called a premium travel blanket or premium travel blanket slash pillow. There will be a link in the description of this episode. So even if you're not up for buying anything right now, you should probably just click that link and check it out. Just to, so you know what I'm talking about. All right, so this pillow, so I do dig this pillow simply because it is more comfortable. It actually feels like a real pillow. You can put it behind your head. Now, it doesn't stop me from my neck from jostling back and forth, but it is nice. It's a nice pillow. It feels like a real pillow. It's more comfortable. It's more plush. And here's the cool thing. The stuffing, for lack of a better word, inside the pillow is actually a blanket. So that's how it transforms. You unzip it, and it's got like a cool, next to the zipper, there's like a little mountain climber clip that you can actually clip onto your backpack, which is nice for traveling also, or I can clip it in front of me, in the seat in front of me, where if there's room sometimes, or if there's places to do that, it's those mountain climber clips. I do dig that a lot. And then you pull it out and there's a blanket, and I always need a blanket. I don't know about you, it's always freezing on an airplane or most places I go, and it's really nice. Now, it does bring it to a bit of a downside, is you have to choose between pillow and blanket. So on an airplane, so only two downsides I can think of on this. On an airplane, I still have to bring a second pillow if I'm going to use the blanket mode. And number two, because it's got an obvious zipper compartment, I don't trust airline security not to use that as an excuse to cause problems by either searching it as if it's another bag, or a lot of times I can bring that horseshoe pillow and they don't count it as anything, but they may count this as a as an additional personal item because it looks like a bag of sorts, right? But still, check it out so you know what I'm talking about, right? If you click on the link in the description and look at that picture as I'm talking, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? And I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. And or any other solutions you might have for this issue when traveling. And if you've used this, and if TSA is giving you a hard time or not. But aside from the airplane, it's a no-brainer to get this thing for trains, buses, and outdoor concerts. Outdoor concerts and picnics, I think, is where this thing is going to, totally slide. I mean, obviously now if you're not going to see Pantera live, you're not bringing a pillow with you. But if you're going to see an orchestra, or back in my hometown of Chicago, if you're hitting Ravinia, there's some there's festivals. There's festivals where you bring food with you, and a picnic basket, or hitting a botanic garden on a date, or any of those things. Fireworks on the 4th of July. This thing's perfect. Like, I love it. Like, it's ideal, right? It's a pillow to rest, put your head on, and you bust out a blanket. I mean, it's really fun to actually bust out that blanket out of there too. And it's super comfortable material. Like, it's really nice. All right, so that is the Blue Hills 2-in-1 travel blanket slash pillow. All right. So, Now that we got that out of the way, let's out of the way. I actually really do take this thing. So, but that is the sponsor of today's episode. So please do check them out. All right, well, let's get into some travel annoyances. And let's start with the rest of the world so we realize how nice we actually have it here in the United States. When you're traveling Europe and Asia, there is this really annoying 7 kg carry-on weight limit. And for those of us here raised in the United States, you know, the concept of what does 7 kg mean? Trust me, it's nearly useless. I mean, it's such a light amount of weight. You can't travel with anything useful like an actual laptop or something. You really need a lightweight tablet or try to do everything on your phone. Your laptop is going to take any laptop, even the lightest laptop is going to take up a good chunk of that. And then, you know, you need other stuff in there like toiletries and underwear and stuff. And let's say you buy something like you might want in your carry-on food, you know, so that is a big hurdle. That is a big hurdle. And a big downside with traveling in general. And then here in the States, obviously, airline security there's some of the most annoying people on the planet. You know, I was somewhere traveling. I mean, not always. Once somebody recognized me, I was really happy. And then the TSA guy, like, you know, he was asking me a bunch of entertainment questions and he waved me through without I just walked right through. He was so excited to see me. That's great. But I've had one experience where the security guy confiscated my ibuprofen. Now, you know very well that you're allowed to take a little pill of store-bought ibuprofen with you. But I don't know, maybe he was hurting on his feet and wanted to steal my ibuprofen. Whatever, it's rude, but you can't really argue with him. You're completely powerless. Although one time I was able to successfully argue, a guitar is a very, very, very acceptable thing to bring on as a personal item. They list it on the TSA site. In fact, you bring it on board and they will store your guitar up in front somewhere in a special area. Like it's great. This, if you look on TSA rules, you can take a guitar. Oh my gosh, this TSA lady, I think I was going from O'Hare to DC for a Telemundo appearance. And the whole purpose of me was going there, I'd have to play this guitar on air and then come back, right? Like it's crazy, right? She is giving me a hard time saying guitars are not allowed. You have to check this. I'm like, this is ridiculous. I'm going to miss my flight. And at that point, I actually did stand up to her. And I said, because it's just impossible for me to, I mean, it would be pointless for me to go if they ruin this guitar or I miss the flight or, you know, so I'm like, you know what, if I'm screwed anyway, I'm standing up. Who cares if they detain me for an hour or two for me to argue my case? So I stood my ground and called for a manager to come down. And they actually interrupted the ticket counter even. And the ticket counter lady confirmed, yes, this is fine. I mean, I couldn't believe it, man. So I actually had to stand my ground and call out supervisors on this lady. Because, you know, TSA agents, they're so overzealous to make your life miserable for no reason. And it's just a sad thing of power. You know, we notice this with other uniformed positions of power, right? Like it's nice if you come across somebody in a position of power that's not abusing it, just because it's the only, I don't know, it's the only way they can feel good about themselves or empowered. When life in general, we are powerless as human beings. This is a very real thing, you know, and it's very hard. I try to put some sort of compassion towards them because life is difficult because we are all bombarded with, you know, reminders of how powerless we really are against pretty much everything. And, you know, people want to feel empowered. And unfortunately, if you are in a position of power, it quickly becomes a Stanley Milgram prison buzzer experiment. You know, it's just a sad fact of reality. Now, so changing from that, now the opposite is true, and I've yet to do this. I was going to go down and visit Riba down in Austin from, I was going to take it a cross-country train and end up in Austin. But it would have been multiple, it would have been several days, right? It would have been a very, very long trip. And then the plan was for us to, you know, see Pantera live, right? But I decided against this because of the reviews of what would it be like to actually take a be on a train for several days. But the pro of this is, and I didn't realize this, is on a train, aside from the fact that it's half the cost of flying, it's you can bring so much stuff. You can bring coolers of food with you and drink, and yeah, I mean, it's because you're stuck on a train for days with other people. It's apparently kind of fun, but the downside is there's no Wi-Fi for huge swaths of the trip, and no phone signal because you're on a train. You're going through parts of the country that are no good. It's rough riding, so you're gonna be a little sore because train tracks are not smooth. And the worst part that I found out is every 15 minutes, even throughout the night, they're sounding that godforsaken horn, which means you're not going to sleep either. So there are pros and cons to that. And so I am leaning towards now road tripping forever. Man, if I could avoid, especially if I'm, you know, if it's someplace drivable and, you know, I don't have to be in, you know, Korea or something. Now, speaking of Korea, last time I was in Korea, I took a bus because it was to get to where I was going, you know, from the airport to Pohang or something like that. I think that's how you pronounce it. Pohang. I don't know. I actually am terrible at pronouncing it, and to the point where I could barely order the ticket because it's not like things are in English over there, right? So I had to memorize what those symbols, what the symbol for it was. And then, you know, say it out loud, and, you know, I'll say Pohang, and they have no idea what I'm saying, because even though it's Pohang, there's a very subtle difference between the way I say it and the way it's actually said. That means a world of difference. But I managed to get this, and that bus was amazing. It was amazing. So other countries' public transportation compared to the Western, and I shouldn't say other countries, the Western Hemisphere in general, because our trains and buses aren't great throughout the Americas that I've noticed. So, including Latin America and all that stuff, right? It's not something you want to spend hours on, let alone days. But man, those Korean buses, it was great. It was great. So, well worth it, and much preferable to other modes of transportation. But, you know, in the Western Hemisphere, I think road tripping is the way to go if you have the option. In spite of gas prices, unfortunately, it costs so much more than flying because of gas prices, wear and tear on a car, and, you know, you need hotel rooms. You know, you can only drive for so long. And, you know, and purchasing a vehicle that you can sleep in is ridiculous because right now everything costs. You can get a condo, right? Your choice are an RV or a condo, right? So it's crazy. So anyways, that is the first rant here for this episode about travel shenanigans and travel being a pain in the ass. Let me know if you have come up with any solutions on how to travel or how to figure out how to convince people to do everything remotely so we can get rid of traveling altogether. And I'm good. I'm even good with never taking a vacation again, if that's possible. But anyways, let's take it. So just in case you didn't know yet, you are listening to Latindian Style, the podcast. And I'm your host, Anand Bhatt, tu Latindio. So keep listening. We're going to have some fun. So I've been wanting to replace my old school horseshoe style travel pillow for a long time. I just don't dig it. And Blue Hills has this pillow / blanket transformer type thing. So let's actually take a look at this puppy and see what we got. All right, so right off the bat,
right off the bat, this is way nicer, and I do like this. And it's got this little like mountain climbing hanging hook. If we take this out, an entire blanket comes out of here. Now, for flying, I would probably still use this and my other travel pillow, or I may not even risk taking this on an airline because I don't trust the airlines not to see the zipper and accuse me of this being another personal item. But, or like a bag, TSA's got to go through. But seriously, for trains, buses, picnics, outdoor concerts, this is a no-brainer. Road trips where I'm not driving, which rarely happens, I'm usually the one driving.
Hey, so don't forget to also check out the What Were We Thinking podcast, where Earl, McDawg, Kayla, and I rip it up on all sorts of issues. It's another fun podcast to listen to. Check it out.
This is brutal.
And they gave me a year's conditional discharge, which is still, well, we'll get to that part. And then I had to stay with my mom and not talk to people that did drugs anymore. And of course I did that. And then years later, when I was going in and out of America following the Grateful Dead, of all things, you know, and stuff like that. I didn't even think about it. You know, it's like 3 years later, 4 years later.
I don't smoke weed, but I have wicked acid.
And then yeah. and that was just going down by like in people's cars and or on the bus and stuff like that. And then finally I had this massive trip to go see this New Year's celebration for the Grateful Dead down in San Francisco. And I got, it was an 11-day thing with like 9 days in a Flamingo Western. I had the tickets for all four shows, including New Year's, which is notoriously hard to get. And I got to the border for the airplane, or I mean, I got to Pearson and they refused me to get on the plane, even though I'd been in and out of America again and again and again. Then comes the great story of my mother sneaking me across the border. We'll skip that. And we'll go to the part where I get down there and I managed to have a bit of fun in the last 4 days. It took 5 days during a Greyhound strike to get down there. And then years and years later, I had forgotten that I could have that charge completely removed, like a pardon, right? Mm-hmm. All right, but I did get the pardon done. And then when I got to the border in 2008... when I had a position in a band in Hollywood that was going to be produced by Daniel Ash.
Oh, no way.
And I got to the border. I had a place to stay in a condo facing the ocean from Ventura. And I got to the border and they said, what were you arrested for?
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And I said, when? Which I guess was kind of like saying, which time?
Which time?
Oops. Mm. It's like, do you have any concealed weapons? What do you need? So they pulled me out and they explained to me that a conditional discharge where I'm from is the same as a conviction down here. Then they started talking bullshit about a DUI and then like as if their daughter had been hit with a DUI and wasn't allowed to go to Niagara Falls for the weekend or something. I don't know. He was really miffed.
Right.
And all the people were standing across the room going, well, you know, we can just detain you right now. Right. And stuff like that. Anyways, I lost the position in that band and got sent back to Toronto.
Oh wow.
And,
that's really brutal.
And oh, there's a lot of those along the way. But and this is all resting on the fact that there's a record of my record.
Of course.
Right? So I can, so even though my record's brutal. Been removed, there's a record of the record. So then then what's the point of having the record removed? You guys are crazy.
They're really hardcore.
Well, that's Homeland Security. But, it's own terrorist cell, right? It's meant to.
Right, absolutely, right. I mean, because it really is counterproductive because I tell you, man, Canadians come down here and spend a fuck lot of money.
I was going to.
Yeah.
I was going to make a lot of money and spend it.
They're like, suddenly they're in a third world country. They're like, everything's a dollar. This is amazing. And they fucking buy a bunch of shit and go home. God, there was once one of Johnny's things in Vegas. All the dudes that came down from Canada with them filled up suitcases full of underwear and socks.
That was the most for sure, because
they'd ever seen. Three, like $2 underwear.
They have, right? Well, you guys have Ross Dress for Less, which we don't have, which is wonderful. And outlet malls, right? And outlet malls in the States are super cheap, right. Like crazy cheap. And I mean, you know, if it, if I ever was not allowed to go, I would probably lament that the most. I can't go down there and get my khaki chinos for $24.95 since they're $75 here. Anyway, wow. So McDog, I want to know this. Aside from the fact that that completely sucks, and we're going to have to start crafting a new identity for you or something.
This is why I get cancer.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, we can get, that's why, see, I knew if we started on something that was kind of unpleasant, we would divert.
divert. It's always got to come to cancer.
I want to know how you got connected to Danny Ash, who, so, for if people don't know,
me.
Right, like the millennial, was he guitarist or bass player for Bauhaus?
And guitar.
Then he was guitar, and then he started Lovin' Rockets, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're at all a 90s person, you should know Love and Rock.
If you can't find footage of them, and it's very hard to find footage of Bauhaus together, but there's a really great way to do it, which is try to find a 1983 Tony Scott film starring David Bowie as a vampire called The Hunger.
Oh, great movie and great soundtrack.
And the opening credits is all Bauhaus right up against the lens singing Bela Lugosi's Dead for like 5 minutes. You can see how incredibly moving they were. But this song, Bela Lugosi's Dead, gave them kind of a connection to vampirism. So when video games started to come around and you had like Blood Rain video game, then people started calling Daniel Ash, who's a guitar player who had moved to LA. And so he was, you know, that's where he was living. Okay, so I'm living in Prague and I'm reading Craigslist, and there's this Greek guy from Greece who's living in Prague, and he's looking for members for his band. And so I joined his band, and we were putting together a lot of music. And then he had come from Greece being in kind of a band that was, you know how Tom Waits exists and he always has the same band, but no one knows who they are. All right. It's like that. So he was a member of some guy's band in Greece like that. And so that guy was making just one more album, and he called him in Prague, please come back. And he did. But he had gotten a new singer for this album, and my guitarist fell in love with that new singer. So he left the band, and she was Greek-American living in LA. So when they were done recording the album, he moved with her to California and apologized to me for destroying the band. 2 years later, he called me from LA and filled me in and said, listen, the guitar player's leaving our band. I want you to come down here. And then he told me that his girlfriend was in a room with her best friend listening to our new demo, and his girlfriend's friend's boyfriend came in the room saying, what's this then? He said, oh, this is my friend's new band. It's like, oh, it sounds really good. Next time you play at the Whiskey, I'll do the sound. And it was Daniel Ash.
I can't believe it. See, to an old guy like me, he's just...
I know.
He's one of the greats.
He's like, really important, right? I mean, he's been saddled incorrectly with the entire goth movement. That wasn't his thing. Because this is not goth music. This is post-punk heavy new wave, right? It's art house punk is what it is. There was no goth yet. Because this song is from 1978?
Yeah, let me see.
And then the vampire movie was 5 years later. Like, it's really disconnected. But I'm sure he didn't argue. Someone walks up and says, you're the James Brown of vampires. You don't say no.
No, you dye your hair black.
Yes, immediately.
Right away and get a biker jacket. All right.
All right. Now, as usual, please do check out my artist profile on Spotify. Follow and let me know what you think. I look forward to hanging out with you again. Love you guys.